was in New York. He did a funeral. Yeah, and then he went down to Florida. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, I go a couple. Turn to Colossians 1 and John 8:38, both. Just kind of get them both ready. John 8:38. Just going to preach out of my spirit. I may open the altar up later. It just depends what the Lord wants to do for the Lord to move. Youth group tonight, 6 o'clock. We're watching The Chosen. And we've got a swimming pool, so bring some trunks or something. It's not a big pool, but if you just want to cool off. Are you bringing your wiffle ball thing? You got that? Okay, so we're going to play wiffle ball. Then we're on episode 2 of The Chosen. If you're, what age is Pam? What did you say? For youth group, it's like 7th grade through senior. Yeah, 7th grade through senior. Thanks, Pam. All right, if you get your Bible, Father, bless me as I preach. And more importantly, Lord, bless our ears to hear. The gospel's the truth. It's not a man-made thing. The gospel is the truth. Open our hearts and minds to the gospel, Lord, because that's what I want to preach today. I want to preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Amen. John 8:38. I was thinking about this week, and I got some other stuff to share too, but I was thinking about being free from sin, what it means to be free from sin. Devil is the king of condemnation, okay? Condemnation is not from God. Condemnation, write this down, this is a gem. Anything in your life that doesn't produce fruit is not from the Lord. Unless you're done, unless you're being judged and you're done, which no one here should be done, you know, you're still alive, God hasn't judged you. But unless you're being judged, whatever God's doing in your life will produce fruit. What do I mean fruit? It'll change you. It'll bring life to you. Even correction. I mentioned last week that the wellspring of life is correction. When God does something in your life, He's trying to produce fruit. Even when He prunes you or allows you to be changed or something cut out of your life, He's doing that because He wants to produce more fruit. He wants to bring change into your life. He wants to bring joy, fruit. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring goodness. He wants to bring patience. He wants to bring long-suffering. He wants to bring love. He wants to bring faith. He wants to bring kindness. All these things the Lord is producing in your life. Satan, on the other hand, he's the king of death. Everything he's doing in your life, or the old person you used to be, that old dead person, it's bringing death into your life. Condemnation does not cause you to grow. Feeling guilty and feeling ashamed and, you know, why Jesus always was forgiving, wasn't he? I saw that first episode of The Chosen. And then just the power that Jesus comes to this woman. Religion could not help her. Incantations and spells and could not help her. But when the Son of God touched her, she was delivered. And then in the second episode, she's alive again. Jesus didn't put her in condemnation. When Jesus met the woman caught in adultery, he asked her, he said, "Where are your accusers? Where are the people that are accusing you?" Now, the one person that could have accused her was Jesus because he was without sin. Amen? No one else could accuse her because he said, "Whoever among you doesn't have sin, you can throw the first stone." That judgment was the judgment of condemnation. Nobody in this room has the right to condemn anybody at any time. That's God's job. On the final day, when you get judged, that's God's job at the end. Right now, we are in the dispensation of grace. God is offering you mercy. The gospel isn't yes or no. Maybe I'll forgive you. Maybe I won't. Maybe I love you. Maybe I don't. You've been a good boy today. I love you. You've been a bad boy. I don't. That's not the gospel. The gospel is I love you. I saw a guy preach a sermon, and he had one of those, like a four-leaf clover or whatever, a daisy. And it, you know how you go, "She loves me. She loves me not." How many's ever cheated on that one? Try to figure it out. It's like playing that 17 game, Braden, you showed me. Trying to figure it out. He said, the gospel is, he loves me. 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 There is, he loves me not. God loves you. The Bible says when you were at your worst, God loved you the best. God's grace is for sinners. Someone say amen. God loves people. He's interested in their salvation. And he loves us all. The gospel is not a yes or no gospel. If you did bad this week, God's love is sufficient. It never changes. Jesus came to set us free. And if we don't get this rooted in us and grounded in us, we will live our whole lives on a performance basis where we think we did good today, God loves me. I did bad, God doesn't love me. God can use me today to witness because I've been pretty good. He can't use me tomorrow because I didn't know. That is not the truth. The Word of God states that God sees us through the finished work of the cross. What Jesus did on that cross one time forever made you righteous before God. When God looks at you, He actually, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and when He sees you through the blood, He actually sees His Son, Jesus. Did you know that? That's why, and I say it every week almost, I can't help it, that's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. If you're ever going to be glorified, if you're ever going to live a powerful life, it's because you're going to get a revelation that the glory is God's glory, and He has, for some unknown, remarkable, powerful reason, He's decided to put His glory in you. And you don't deserve it, but you got it anyway. God's grace. Paul said in Romans 11, if it was by works, then it would be works, and if it's by grace, then it is grace. He says, don't mix the two up. I'm going to expound on that. I want you to understand this. It's powerful. Grace is grace, and works are works. You're saved by grace, and you're not saved by works. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but Paul, he's trying to reason this with the Romans. Then he says, well, then what you'll tell me is then that you can just keep on sinning so God's grace will just grow and grow. And he says, no, you don't get it yet. Why would you want to sin if now you're a son of God? Why would you want to side with the devil in your former life of sin? Why would you want to live in a life of sin if God has made you righteous? Why would you want to go out and live? Sin is defeat. Sin is shame. Sin is condemnation. Sin is everything bad that Satan's trying to do in your life. Does lust ever build fruit in your life? Did adultery ever help anybody? Did lying ever make you a better person? Did drinking too much and making a fool of yourself, woo, ever make you better? I know about that. Never made me better. Every big mistake I made, stupid stuff, probably was when I was drinking. Never made me better. Sin doesn't make you better. It diminishes you. So Paul was like saying, come on, guys, why do you want to live in sin? God's grace has set you free. What, should we continue in sin so God's grace keeps abounding? Why? Sin brings death. You want to live a life of death? How many would rather be full of love, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faith, peace, full of Jesus, out there loving people, sharing Christ? Or who wants to be depressed and confused and full of lust and hatred? And who wants which team you want to be on? That's why Paul says that. He says, if you're free, live free. But it's always, always, always rooted, get this, in the finished work of Christ. If you get the foundation right, then you'll build on that foundation, and everything you build will bring glory to God. If you get the foundation wrong, what's the foundation? Paul tells us in Corinthians, what's the foundation? Christ crucified, right? The gospel. Jesus died on that cross. He removed your sins. The old person you used to be was moved away, and God has made you alive. You are not the same anymore. You've been born again. Guys, when you gave your life to Jesus, there's something working in you. You became a new creation. There's something new inside of you. I know our brains still need work. I know our flesh still wants to go its own way, but God has put a spirit of righteousness in you and a spirit of holiness, and Paul is constantly teaching these people, hey, walk after that. Let that be your identity. Everything the devil is doing is to make you a puny Christian, where you're always focusing on yourself. You're always focusing on shame and your condemnation and your guilt and why you don't measure up. Do you know what idolatry is? Am I doing okay? I'm more emotional than you guys are. Idolatry is you look at something and you worship it and you become like that thing you focus on. Put a little idol up there, whatever it is, and you worship it and you become like that idol. You become transformed into the image of what you're looking at. And God says, look, I want to change your identity. I put Christ in you. I put the image of God in you. I want you to go back again and again and again and keep looking at that. Did you stumble? Get up. Get forgiveness. Let the blood wash you away. Look at Jesus. Go back to that cross. Did you get snake bit? Put up the pole and look at Jesus. He'll heal your wounds. Looking at Jesus, the Bible never tells you to look at your sins. The Bible never tells you to look at your past. The Bible never tells you to live in shame. It tells you to get up, believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. We are changed by believing the gospel. I have been set right with God. God's not mad at me. God calls me son. His Holy Spirit can move in my life. I'm free to love people. I don't have to defend myself because Jesus is with me. I don't have to defend myself to God because God's not accusing me. I don't have to live in shame. Even if I stumble, even if I feel bad about what I did, God's going to forgive me. He forgave the worst. He forgave you at your worst. His forgiveness is real. That's the gospel. And you can live out of the identity. Or you can forever focus on yourself and your failure, because that's what idolatry is, focusing on sin, focusing on yourself, focusing on your disappointment, focusing on everything, but fixing your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's because you become like what you focus on. You become like what you look at. The Word says that we're renewed in the spirit of our mind by looking at the new man. We're created in the image of God. I'm getting hip to these demonic tricks, people. The devil wants to trip you up to get you to look at yourself so you can be weak and puny, so you can live in constant... Some of you in here were psychologists. You can look at yourself and live in yourself. You don't get better by talking about your past and your failures. You can go to a psychologist, Christians. I don't know about non-Christians. Maybe things work different. Christian, you can go and talk to a psychologist about your past and your failures and this and focus on that. Did it ever make you a better person? Fixing your mind on yourself. You forgive people that hurt you. You let God be God and let Him be the judge. You forgive them and healing comes to you. Forgiveness brings healing to you. If you've committed sins and you feel guilty, you accept God's grace. You allow Him to bring healing into your life, bring where you know that you're loved and you're forgiven, that you don't have to deal with your past anymore. It's over. When you do that and leave your sins at the altar, they don't have to follow you back to your pew. That's healing. I have done things that I am not ashamed of, or I am ashamed of. I've done things that I am not proud of, but I don't carry those things anymore because I know Jesus took them. You say, well, you don't deserve it. That's right, I don't. It's called grace upon grace. That's why when the woman came to Jesus and she cried and wiped his feet, he said, those that are forgiven much, love much. When you know that you've been forgiven for a lot of things, you'll love a lot. You know what God has paid for in your life. You know the mistakes you made. You'll love God a lot when you realize the price that he paid. I want to teach you how to be free tomorrow morning when you wake up and the enemy comes at you and tells you you're no good. Tells you that nothing will change in your life. You were bound with lust Sunday, you'll be bound with lust tomorrow. You were bound in defeat and condemnation Sunday, you'll be bound. I want to teach you how to walk right up out of that. and you do not walk up out of that by focusing on your past and your failures. You walk out of that by focusing on what Jesus did for you. You walk out of that by looking at the cross, seeing yourself there with Jesus, all your sins being paid for. Jesus on that cross took you up on that cross with him, and not only did he cancel your sins and your sins were poured out in his flesh, not only did his blood cleanse you, but he put you up on that cross and he eliminated you right out of the picture. Your old sinful self, the Bible says, was terminated with Christ. And when he rose from the dead, the word says he made you alive, a new person. When you believe it, power is released in your life. We don't do things to be something. We be something to do something. Forgive my grammar. It always starts first with who we are. Who Christ has made us, who is our Father. It always starts with our identity. We always work out of the knowledge. And that's what I preached on this before. That's what the temptation when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan was always trying to get him to do something. He kept saying, if you're the Son of God, if you're born again, if you're a new person, if you're the Son of God, then do this. And Jesus didn't budge. I am the Son of God, and I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. I'm only doing what my Father says. I'm standing in his righteousness. I am not doing anything to prove to you who I am. I don't give to prove I'm generous. I'm generous, so I give. Amen? I don't give to impress somebody. The Bible says what the Pharisees did. They gave money and they bragged about it. They're trying to impress somebody with all their giving. That's not why we give. We give because we're generous people, because Christ lives in us. Your motive. That's why Jason's up here saying, don't give if you don't want to. We don't want people to give grudgingly. We talk about tithing and the things that we do. Listen, we want you to give because you get it. You have a generous Heavenly Father. Generosity comes out of you because Jesus lives in you. When you really get a picture of that, you will be trying to give things away. God will be, when you really understand who the Lord is, his generosity will just flow out of your life. Tithing is the last thing you'll think. It'll be the easiest thing in the world to do. When money, you can't serve two masters. You can't. Jesus said, you can't serve God in money. You can't fixate on something other than Jesus. And if money is your master, giving will scare you to death. If God is your master, giving is, the Bible says God loves a hilarious giver. He loves a joyful giver. That's how it works when you're focusing on God. You know, even like sometimes people want to witness and they're scared to death. I'm telling you, when you really get this, who you are and what God's done in you and something's on the inside, when it's really good news to you, you'll share it. When it really is good news, if it's a burden and it's religion, you won't share it with anybody. But when the gospel really becomes good news, when you wake up in the morning and you're worshiping God in your house and the presence of God is on you and you go out your day and you feel the Lord and you turn to people and you feel God's love for people, you're no longer in a dog-eat-dog world. You're living in a different kingdom now. I'm not in a dog-eat-dog world. I moved out of that kingdom. I'm in a giving kingdom. I'm in a dog-give-dog world now. Amen? When you get out of that kingdom of dog eat dog and what's in it for me, and we turn our focus on God and other people, all of a sudden all the things that the Bible says, like give and it shall be given to you, forgive and you will be forgiven, if you want a friend, be friendly, all those principles start working in your life by just naturally they start working. And I'm telling you, loving people is sure a lot better than hating people and despising people. Religion makes you despise people. Gospel is the good news of the grace of God that he did for you what you could never do for yourself. And it works by faith and only by faith. And when you've got real faith, works will come. The doing follows the being. Your identity, when you know that you're a princess in God, when you're in the kingdom of God and you're a princess and you're precious and you're valuable and God looks at you as something precious, you'll know how to act. You'll hold yourself up high. you'll feel that princess, that queen, you'll feel it raise up inside of you. Girls won't let boys treat them just how they want. You get your hands off the princess. You don't get your paws on me. That put a ring on it. No, whatever. How's that song go? Who sings that? Put a ring on it. Yeah, whatever. So you ain't getting this until you put a ring on it. You'll know who you are. And your preacher won't have to preach to you about how you're supposed to live. You'll know who you are, and your identity will be different. You'll know. We've all made mistakes, folks. Come on. I'm not getting on you. Not too bad. We've all made mistakes. We've all come short of the glory of God. I'm saying when you know who you are, you'll act like it. When you know who you are, you'll act like it. You'll love. That stuff will flow out of your life. Let's read this. Jesus was fussing with religious people, okay? Which, you know, they always wanted to fuss with him. He was trying to help them. He died for the religious, and he died for the irreligious. But in John 38, they were fussing with him. And Jesus said, I'll start with verse 34. He said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are really free. You're not free on Sunday morning. You're free Sunday to Saturday. You're really free. Problem is, we want to argue with God and tell him we're not free. You want to talk about your experience and what you're going through rather than give the Holy Ghost something to work with, which is your faith. I've had times when I felt anything but free and the Holy Spirit was saying, Brad, declare your freedom. I don't feel free, Lord. Declare your freedom. I've woke up and feel condemnation and guilt and feel like I'm a failure and life isn't working for me and things aren't going my way. Hey, if things always went your way, Paul wouldn't tell the Christians, look, you've got long suffering with patience and joy. He said you'd have troubles. He said you'd be smacked. He said you'd have opposition. He said that's why you have to have long suffering with patience and joy and thanksgiving. Most of us, and I'm throwing myself in here too, the first trial you get, you start complaining and say, oh God, I thought when I was a Christian, everything was going to be okay. And I thought that I'd have, you know, someone would give me money. And I thought that people would like me. And I thought that, you know, everything. And Lord, nothing's going my way. And oh, just my husband's horrible. And blah, 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 blah. You're missing the boat. When you wake up and things aren't going your way, Jesus is still the same. The gospel hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, my neighbor hasn't treated me well. Love your neighbor anyway. Love your enemies. Brad, you've got victory. Be long-suffering because my word says that God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Doesn't it say that? It says, it doesn't say unbelief or complaining is the victory. It says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You're in a battle. And we put our faith and our eyes firmly on Jesus. We are going to go through long suffering. We are going to be patient. And while we're suffering and while we're going through the trial, we are going to praise God. And if you want to irritate the enemy, if you want to irritate the devil, you want to please God, you want to have God bend over heaven and look at you, when you're going through the trial, when you're going through opposition, when things aren't going your way, praise God right then. Let God know you really believe him. When they threw Paul in prison, he wasn't crying. When they threw Paul in prison, he was up to his knees in mud. He wrote the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What's that rat doing in here? Rejoice in the Lord always. Ow, what's that bit me? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. He wrote that from prison. He said, I know that it will turn to my salvation through your prayers and through the supply of Jesus. I am going to believe God to the bitter end, till they cut my head off when I'm going through this obstacle. That's how Christianity works. We don't fold. We don't complain. We know that God triumphs over the devil. We know that Jesus won the victory over the cross. We know we'll get slapped. We know we'll have opposition, but that's when your faith in God comes in. Isn't that the story of every Old Testament story in the Old Testament? And just if your husband calls you a mean name, you don't fold and go complain to 10 people in the church. You go to God and praise Him and say, "Thank you for changing that rascal." Amen? That's the victory. Long-suffering, that's for people that really believe the gospel and know who they are. That's for people that understand that nothing anybody says about you that's not true doesn't matter a hill of beans. God's opinion is the one opinion that matters. They can talk about you. They can gossip about you. They can talk. You go to your heaven. I've had people say things, and I'm not complaining. I'm not. I love everybody. I really do. I'm not mad at the person in the world, and God knows I'm not. I'm not mad at anybody in the world. I've had people say things about me. Might have hurt me a little bit. I got into my prayer closet. That's where everything gets to be okay, Linda, right there in your prayer closet. I go in my prayer closet, and the Lord meets me and says, "Brad, I love you. What are we going to do tomorrow? What's on your plans, Brad? Because I'm hanging out with you tomorrow." I had a ball down at the gym this week. I invited two guys. I thought one was going to be here this morning. He didn't make it. I had another guy. Get this. I'm not bragging. I'm just talking. Two guys I talked to down at the gym, both of them looking for a church. Isn't that something? Just opened my mouth, started talking to them. I'm learning to hang out in God, just be confident in God. Get my eyes off of me and start looking at Thee. When I do that, I'm more effective. When I'm not protecting myself, when I'm not hurt because you said a bad thing, you didn't text me back. That hurt my feelings. Oh, you were feeling hurt too? Okay. I'm not living for me, I'm living for Thee. My whole focus is different because I know if I seek first the kingdom and I follow God, that's my whole battle now. Do you know Paul, when Paul said in Hebrews, he says, you got to labor to enter into rest. You know what that's all about? You got to labor to give up trying to justify yourself, save yourself, sanctify yourself. You got to labor to enter into rest where you stop and you let God, you believe the gospel that God's already done it. That you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places already. That's your starting point. Ready, set, go. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I've been sanctified, not by works of my own, so I can't boast, but it's God that did it for me. I'm right. Jesus made me righteous. It's a gift. It's a gift. I can start dancing, but I look a little weird. It's a gift. It's the gift of righteousness. Are you kidding me? God is giving me a gift of righteousness. I can pray and God's not mad at me. People can say bad things about me and it doesn't change my righteousness. God's made me holy. I'm qualified. I'm fit. I'm equipped. That's the starting point. Where does it end? If I begin there, where's it going to end? Well, most of us get tripped up right after the beginning. Because Satan and his war machine comes in and starts accusing. We start defending and then we start trying to earn. And we move off the hope of the gospel. We move off of the hope of the gospel. We get our eyes on our trial. We get our eyes on whatever it is, condemnation, on ourselves. And we quit fixing our eyes on Jesus. And like Peter coming out of the boat, we start sinking. And God's so good, Jackie. He'll just reach that hand out there and say, "Come on, get up." Jesus isn't going to condemn you. He never will. He never will. We'll all be judged on the last day, what you do with Jesus, but He'll never condemn you. That's not the Lord. There you go. There you go. Peter sunk because he got his eyes off of Jesus and he got his eyes on the wind and the waves. You're talking about perfectionism, right? No, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about what you're looking at. Why would you argue with God? Do you know in Romans 6, flip over Romans 6, I was going to go to Colossians, but I don't have time. Brielle and Isaiah, can you guys just come up here? That way I know I'll be accountable to quit. You guys okay? I'm just preaching gospel 101. That's all I'm doing. You may already know this. I need to hear it at least once a week. I do. I need to hear this at least once a week myself, because I want to do something for the Lord. And I can't do something till I be something. Amen? So I want to renew my mind in this stuff all the time about who I am. When the gifts of the Spirit want to flow through me, I don't want to think, well, I'm just not worthy, Lord. I mean, I yelled at Pam yesterday, and I just know I'm not worthy, and I'm a rat. I'm just so pitiful. Well, Brad, we know you're pitiful. Come on, we settled that a long time ago at the cross. We know that. We already know you're pitiful. Quit looking at yourself. Look at Jesus. That's how transformation comes. Look at who lives inside you. Christ in you. Not Brad in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And I wish I tell you, Thursday nights when I do that video, which I never showed you, when I do that video on Thursday nights, I try to slow down and go through these things more systematically, if that's even humanly possible, and explain stuff a little better. I don't have time on Sunday mornings. But Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may increase? By no means. You died to sin. We died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Someone say, I'm dead to sin. Verse 11 says, in the same way, consider yourself, count yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin. Okay, that's only half of it, Sandy. Count yourself dead to sin. Get this, other half, but alive to God. When you go out your door in the morning, you're not just dead to Denny. You're not just dead to Joe. You're alive to God. My purposes, my plans, everything I do now has changed. I'm a new person. And you enter into rest. It's not a struggle. It's a snuggle. It's not you trying to go out tomorrow and do all these things. It's you knowing who you are. I am telling you, when you know who you are, love will flow out of you. The fruit will flow out of you. And you'll do things naturally that you could never do if you grunted and tried to do them. I know when I'm laboring under law, Pammy, because I'm trying too hard. I'm trying too hard. I know when I'm believing because I'm trusting. And I see my Father open doors for me, and I see Him helping me. I see Him giving me grace. I see His Spirit coming in. The Bible says grace comes to the low places. Didn't I say that last week? Grace comes to the humble. Grace comes to the humble. Father, I know it's You. Jesus, I know it's You. I know I'm humbling myself. Let's see what You're going to do today. Lord, I'm living my life with my eyes wide open. What are You going to do today? Opposition comes. God, I have grace to handle it. In the Russian church, I read this book called Tortured for Christ, and Richard Warmbrand, they threw these guys in prisons. They tortured them. They literally, they starved them. They beat them. They'd mock them. Say, where's Jesus at? They threw them in coolers where they would freeze, put them in there overnight. They'd bring them to the point of freezing to death. Then they'd let them out and fall. And they'd throw them back in. They'd say, deny Jesus. And many of them didn't deny Jesus. They'd torture them. These guys would get set free. And they had so, you got to read that book, Torture for Christ. They had so much passion and fervor for God. They would go right back out and tell people about Jesus again. They said they were burning up with love for their torturers. How does that happen? That has to be grace. How could you love someone that's throwing you in an ice box? They said they would burn up because of the grace of God that was in their life. Didn't Jesus do that on the cross? Didn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them? They do not know what they're doing. Braden, your enemies, they don't know what they're doing. When people say bad things about you, they don't know what they're doing. They're damaging themselves. They sure didn't damage Jesus. That's what all that language is. Bless them that curse you. Love your enemies. Overcome evil with good. That's all grace. It's not you trying to. That stuff don't work by trying. That stuff works by God's grace. And you open your heart and humble yourself to receive it. And it's that simple. all those sayings, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be filled. So here's what we got. We got a few minutes, not even 12 yet. We're going to worship to this song, come to the altar. I'm not begging, I'm not pleading. But if you need to do business with God, I'm not talking about get saved. Maybe you do need saved. Come up and get saved. Give your life to the Lord. If you need to make a transaction to God, you want to humble yourself this morning, you want to come and throw it on the altar. Don't look around at your neighbor. It's you and the Lord. If you want to throw something down there at the altar, you want to change the way you're looking at things, you want to change your identity and how your identity's already been changed, you want to change how you're seeing yourself, the altar's open. I know that God will meet you at this altar this morning. You can stand up, please.